is a Bramble Jam podcast.
Hey, can I tell you guys a secret?
Oh, yeah, please. I would love it.
My name?
What is it?
It's Bran. Guess what?
What?
I love One Calls to Heart.
Oh, fascinating. Mm. That's good, good. Hey, since we're opening up, can
sure.
I share a secret
please.
With you? Okay. This is a little edgy, but hey, my name's Panda.
Oh, boy, sizzle.
You say heady or edgy?
Edgy.
Okay. Edgy, yeah. And here's the deal. I like One Calls to Heart.
You know, guys, I really thought we had like some good chemistry going since 2018. So why don't we just do things completely different today?
Yeah, no, that's good.
Does that sound good to you?
Yeah, okay. No, I would like that.
I'll tell you a little secret.
Okay.
I despise the very fiber of my being.
What?
I despise When Calls to Heart.
Wow. How about, what's this podcast?
It's actually the Deck the Hallmark podcast.
Oh, wow.
Yes, it is. Oh, yeah. And here we are. Snap. Bran, season two. Panda,
season two.
Dan.
Season two.
Another day. To celebrate When Calls to Heart, season two, episode one. Back to cover it. Guys, how are we today on this wonderful Thursday? Yes, feeling brisk.
Oh, come on. Come on.
Go.
My mouth was parched.
You have water in front of you.
I was so excited about that Diet Coke. I cracked it open because I thought it was going to be
icy cold.
I know it was. I picked it just because it is it.
I already taken a sip. I was really doing it a favor there.
Man, when you cracked that open, I just got a hankering.
Can I get another one?
Dan, go get him another one.
I'm good.
Dan? No. Panda, stand your ground here.
Oh. What did you do, Panda?
No, Panda, sit out.
No, I understand my role in life.
You can pick this up while I explain what's going on here. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Deck the Hallmark. Three friends talking about everything Hallmark Channel. And we are going back to the beat. Are you going to pick it up?
No, I'm not.
You're going to go pick it up.
I didn't do it.
What do you mean you didn't do
it? I did do it.
Who did?
I don't know, but it wasn't me.
The ghost?
Maybe.
The ghost of you. It keeps me awake.
Are we not going to do another run?
No.
What, are you serious?
Nah.
Oh, that's brisk though.
We've gone back to the beginning to watch One Calls to Heart.
Good thing it hasn't been a long. Hey, Bran, I'm really excited about this season of Deck the Hallmark. Hey, Dan, why don't you tell?
What are you saying?
What are you saying?
No, I'm just wanted to let you know I'm really pumped to be here. Thanks for
about this season of Deck the Hallmark.
Deck the Hallmark. Really,
you mean
pumped
coming
about.
Up like in October?
Yeah, no, just this one right now, right in the middle of it, right smack dab.
I'm excited too, my friend.
Pumped about it, yep.
Season two, episode one of When Calls to Heart
is still going on.
Windy.
We got it in the background. We had to get to the podcast. I think we got the gist. But Tracy is continuing to watch for us. We didn't realize it was around the clock affair.
I'll keep you guys abreast.
Thank you, Trace. Thank you. I think there's another scene at the train station, more carriages, upper crust families. We're doing the best we can here, guys. We just don't have 1,000 minutes in a day. I don't know what to tell you.
Panda, what's the name of the cool skateboarder in extremely goofy movie?
Oh, what is his name?
I don't remember.
Someone Upper Crust a Third. This is the name.
An extremely goofy movie?
Extremely goofy.
I don't know.
I've only seen Goofy Movie. I've not seen
guys, Extremely Goofy is great. It's at the peak of X Games fame, and so they went with an X Games theme, thank God.
Oh, yeah, thank God.
X Games were awesome.
X Games were awesome, man. All right.
Extreme, dude.
Are you guys ready?
Let's do it.
Season two, episode one of When Calls the Heart. It is entitled Trials of the Heart. See what they did there. It originally aired on, when do you think it aired?
Let's go with February 22nd, 2015.
Let's go with January 13th, 2015.
This is a shock. This is a late start. April 25th, 2015. How about that? And man, it went a little something. Like this, Elizabeth arrives for her first horseback riding lesson with Jack. The two are, you know, chummy, funny, and they go for the ride. They're having a wonderful time. They get back into town, and their happiness is suddenly zapped from them when they see the big head honchos from the mining club escorting the new judge. The old judge is out, new judge is in. And Mr. Gowan is all chummy, chummy, friendy, friendy with the new judge. We do meet a new prosecutor. Her name is Sam Madison. That's right, boys. A woman.
Her?
How dare you not know? Sam is rumored to be one of the best lawyers around and has agreed to come to Coal Valley to fight for the right to party. And for the widows, facing...
I'm here for two reasons in that order. The right to party.
Yeah.
The widows and orphans.
That's exactly right. You guys remember Bill, the forensic investigator? So he's hanging out. You know, he had this relationship budding with Abigail, and it's kind of... she's starting to be a little bit weird towards him because she found... his wedding ring and pictures of his family. He's married. Bill tries to talk to her. Not happening. So that's sad. But later on in the episode, good news. Not good news for him ultimately, but his wife died, kid dead as well.
Great news. Great.
But that does mean that Abigail doesn't hate him anymore. So,
yeah, because
you know,
there's tension there.
Hey, does right. Abigail get to talk about the trial at all?
She will talk about the trial, and she will get her day in court. Elizabeth and Rosemary, they're at it again. They're making Jack some chicken fried steak. Classic 84 minutes. As Jack and Elizabeth prepare to leave her home.
you got it. No, you
stop.
Got it.
Good stuff. This coach arrives, and there's a girl there. A guy there. His name's Mr. Sweeney. And Mr. Sweeney's a mine inspector. He investigated the Coal Valley mine. He's made a report that it's unsafe. He's like the star witness. It's going to be all good, all gravy. Jack and Elizabeth go back to her hometown, go to Hamilton. And Jack finally gets to see where she comes from, and boy is she coming from some monies, I'll tell you that much. Brings him to a mansion. We see Julie, remember her, also older sister named Viola, whatever, and her father William. Now we find out that her mom is sick. Not really sure what's going on there. There's also going to be this big family dinner party. And Jack is trying to get out of it. And I don't blame him. I hate those type of things. But what can you do? Elizabeth insists, and so he says, okay. We've all been there, right, boys? before dinner, Jack decides to go to the city to catch up with his younger brother, and Jack's New York accent comes back quickly.
How you doing?
Elizabeth catching up with her family. They're walking down the street, and suddenly Jack and his brother are thrown out of the pub. And it's like, no problem, no big deal. We're just getting into some funny business. No, don't worry about it. Back to Coal Valley. The courtroom's packed. Everyone's going nuts right now. And Sam calls Mr. Sweeney to the stand. Everyone knows how this is going to turn out. Mr. Sweeney is going to say, listen, the mines were bad news, except he doesn't. He says the mines, it's all Noah Stanton's fault. It's all his fault. And the crowd goes wild. What is going on here? He was paid off, but what can you do? It's too bad. There's no hope now. Except there is hope in the form of a young woman who enters the courtroom. This woman turns out to be Clara Stanton, the widow of Abigail's son, Peter, that Abigail didn't know existed. You got it? She goes up to the witness stand, and she has a copy of the original mine safety report that says that it had a faulty ventilation system. She says, Peter gave this to me because he knew that something bad was going to happen, wanted to make sure that it was safe. They got married 2 days before he ultimately passed. Judge Parker goes away and rules that the company should be fined at the maximum amount allowed, and those funds should be divided among the widows. This is great news. But it's bad news because everybody's losing their jobs because the mines are closing down. It's a real my wife and my kid are dead, but I can't be with Abigail situation. You know the deal. Abigail's Cafe is buzzing as people celebrate the victory. And there's this new fella named Lee who comes into town and he's like, hey, you guys know how the mines closed? I'm here to open up a sawmill. I'm going to hire back people. This is a great day for Coal Valley. Great day. Later that evening, they're having the party at Elizabeth's parents' house. And Jack's trying to do his best, but he can't compete, you know, with Charles, who's this family friend, works with her dad, and clearly is the person that he wants his daughter to marry. And so Jack says, you know what? I'm going to go back to Coal Valley. And he's going to the old railroad station and goes to leave. And Elizabeth comes in and is like, listen, I don't want you to leave. I don't want you to leave on a sour note. I want everything to be cool. And he's like, listen, I just got to go back. You stay here. You be with your mom. And she kisses him on the cheek, and we get some exciting news that the town is changing its name to Hope Valley.
What?
Everybody's excited. Mr. Gowan says, I'm not leaving. I'm just getting started. And that, my friends, was Wind Calls the Heart, Trials of the Heart.
Woo!
Woo, 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 woo.
We did it.
We did it, everybody. We're going to break this episode down very well, I believe. We're going to start with a hot take. First, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back here on Deck the Hallmark. We're back, everybody. We're talking about When Calls the Heart, Season 2, Episode 1, the first episode of the second season. Double the length for twice the fun. I'm going to start with my good friend Panda. Panda, let's start with a hot take. What do you think about this extended 84-minute episode of When Calls the Heart?
So last week I said that the ending of Season 1 was a, and I quote, banger.
If you go and back and listen, I listened to last week's episode, and you were so excited.
I was pumped.
About everything they've set up for Season 2.
And I don't. Guys, I don't know what happened. We got into Season 2. And boy, that is a real boring episode. It is 83 minutes long and you feel every minute. The best scenes, I guess, is the trial when she comes in and, you know, he rules, makes a ruling. Guys, it is almost an unredeemable episode. Like, it is painful how boring this episode was. There was none of the fire they ended with in Season 1. Like, it's, you're in a completely different location. I guess there's some good stuff with Jack and his brother. We have a lot of shots of the ball and people dress shopping and carriages and walks. And it's just, it felt like a never ending period piece. Like, it felt like a never, like, I sat there and I was like, surely we got to be almost over. And you told me those final 15 minutes felt like eternity, Dan. Yeah.
It was brutal.
Yeah. It was brutal to sit through this episode of television. I hope this is not a sign of things to come because that one was tough. It's the worst episode of When Calls the Heart I've seen by far. And it was long.
I think it's the 84 minutes.
So here's what I will say. I don't disagree. It felt long. I don't know what I did to deserve it, but the courtroom scenes, for my money, are the best scenes of the show so far.
What?
Yeah, I think the courtroom scenes, that's all that I want.
They don't even follow normal courtroom scenes.
I don't care. I don't care.
Objecting to a judge's ruling.
I loved it. I loved
a witness during the opening statement.
Hey, Dan, I object to you right now.
Okay.
Being the way that you are as a human, I object to it. What I don't object to is the courtroom scenes. I liked them a lot. I thought they were great. And I wanted more.
I can't. I can't say.
Brent, I don't want you to stand by. This is my hot take.
Chief, you are out on Lonely Island with this one.
Me and Andy Samberg will do just fine.
That's right.
Yeah, I liked the courtroom stuff, and there wasn't enough of it. I wish that it would have lasted longer in the season, like not all just here. What I'm trying to say,
Boo!
Overall, not a great episode of Courtroom Stuff. Loved it. Dan, go ahead.
This is incomprehensible. Only Hallmark could shoot themselves in the foot like they just did at this episode. Holy. I feel like I was given Novocaine before it started. They built momentum in season one and then decided to read the new When Calls the Heart instruction manual aloud for 84 minutes. I don't know what just happened, but it sure as heck wasn't television. Awful. We're going to get to a smolder rating in a little bit. Spoiler alert, zero. There's a new character in town. It's called New York Jack. It's Daniel Lessing, but he's got a New York accent some of the time. James Brolin, MIA, take it to the house. New judge, he plays poker, takes bribes, still does what's right. The bad guy of season one, who's there to make everyone's life miserable, is gonna stick around, even though he loses. This was awful. And it was so long. It was so, so long. I don't have much life left to live. I could have been like dealing with one of my kids having a temper tantrum. This was terrible television. And I'm sorry that we did it. And I'm sorry that I'm here talking about it.
Well, it's time for all the feels. Fire show. We talk about one of this episode gave us those feels. Panda, none. Good. Me, courtroom. Dan, none. Is that correct?
I mean, what you want me to say? Like, there's not a lot. The judge is fine.
Jack's brother's great. What? I like Jack's brother.
Great in like a didn't make the Newsies cast way.
Look at me. I'm the king of New York. I'm Jack's brother. I'm a bad guy. I get thrown out of pubs, but don't see me cry. It's New York.
I love Newsies, man.
That was still better than anything we watched just now. The past 84 minutes. Oh,
his eyes are blue.
Yeah, they're very blue.
He's a good looking guy.
No, that's true.
He's a good looking guy. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back here. We're back. We're talking about When Calls the Heart, Season 2, Episode 1, The Trials of the Heart. It's time for the Wait What part of the show. It's where we talk about what in this episode of television made us go, wait, what? Panda.
The biggest one for me, first of all, it was so boring, it was really hard to care about anything that might have been a guffaw. I got to find a wait what? First of all,
come on, you can do
it. I was downing Diet Coke. You guys can testify. I was pounded it just trying to stay awake.
Red Bull IV. Oh, we did this after lunch. That's on us.
Brutal. Yeah. Okay, the only thing that to me is the wait, what is they keep praising, and hear me out, because there is a really cool opportunity to show the female attorney as incredibly intelligent.
Yes.
And incredibly competent.
Yes.
And so I was like, okay, this is great. I love this. They proceed to squander it. She does nothing. And then they say, man, you're twice as good as any person. I want to be clear. She does nothing as an attorney. The only reason they win the case is somebody, the
it was so her. She did it. She did the work.
She called Stanton.
Don't say she didn't do anything. No. Yes. She went through all of the people that were lost, and she tried to find if anybody had a relative.
Okay, but what they go on to say was that Stanton seized the newspaper and then called the judge or the attorney.
She saw that after she said yes. No. She was looking for a sign.
To come and be a witness.
Okay. Don't say she didn't do anything, Panda.
Okay, so she reached out. Okay, so she reached out to her. She reached out to her, and then the lay comes, and then she hopes that, like, that's her play. That's fine. That's it then. Okay. What?
I love you. That was the one bit. You get connecting it at the end. You're just like walking through. Okay, she got
it. It's tough to connect the dots when they're just loosely hanging there amidst just seas of boredom.
I saw her see the newspaper, and then there was some dialogue, and it was just, I didn't care.
To be fair, they don't do a great job of establishing, like, She said, the lawyer says, I got my degree in 2000 or in 1910. It is 1910, unless, because they saw Haley's comment in the last episode, unless it's been months and months and months, then maybe it's not, which it takes a long time when the judge is already in town. I don't understand that. So she literally just got her law degree. They wouldn't be sending her out as a federal prosecutor if she just got her law degree. They also weren't, there weren't bar approved female lawyers until like 1918. So she wouldn't have been sent out because of that. And lastly, to be sent out, you would have to be a very special kind of prosecutor. They don't do a good enough job of establishing any, and they had a great opportunity to do so. They didn't establish any of that. They didn't. So
and she doesn't really, let me back up.
The courtroom scene is so bad in this. But I can't believe you liked it.
But let me back up on this, Brand. I will actually, not to double down on that she does nothing. I'll recant that statement. It's not that she doesn't do anything. It's that when it comes time for the trial, she does nothing in the actual trial
itself. I don't disagree with you.
Yeah.
And that is profoundly disappointing.
And then she calls a witness during her closing statement, which is not allowed at all. Like, and she calls her first witness while the defense is talking. Like, he's just giving a statement.
They don't give a clear, man, they could have made her seem really.
They just, it wasn't her. It could have been. It wasn't her.
It was not her.
They didn't take the time to just write the case correctly.
Exactly.
They could have written it with the witness in town, and they're hiding the witness. They could have done a much better job. And the witness is like, should I testify or not?
That would have been
a much better episode of television.
Yes, that would have been much better. And that's a shame that they squandered her character, because I think she was really interesting.
I'll say this. As long as I shall live.
You'll testify?
To what, though?
Love.
Oh, wow.
Good.
I'll be a witness.
In the solace?
But when words are not enough.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
Like every breath, you think, or just occasionally?
Everyone, I'm going to give thanks to God above.
Wow. As long as you live.
I'll testify.
To love.
Sorry, I was having trouble trying it. To love.
Got it's
it.
Love.
Love. Yeah. Got
it's
it.
It's love. So, I mean, I got a couple questions. Like, I think we're going to get there, but if I don't get more about what Lee's deal is, I like what Kevon's character just rolling into town on a motorcycle. What is this dude? What's this dude about? I don't know what this dude is about. And I hope that we get more information about that. I do want to know how much money they get to split, like how much money, it is, you know, when the company dissolves, how much money is there to split amongst all of the widows? Because it could be like a very underwhelming amount.
Yes. And that doesn't mean anything. It doesn't, because we open valley.
Yeah.
That's like, hey, they got the good, they got money, but like, is it $100?
It could be like,
you know, what is it?
It could be a ton. It could be millionaires, or just like, you know, here's a dollar.
Yeah.
We were doing pretty
divided
bad.
Between 47 wives.
Yeah.
Like, it could be.
It could be nothing.
Since
it could be
the very whole little. Explosion, we haven't, you know, we're kind of struggling over here.
Yeah. No, I mean, money. If it's $1,000, they're getting what, a couple $100? That was great for maybe a year. Right.
No, yeah. If there's $100 per woman and there's 47 wives, then it wouldn't even $1,000 wouldn't even.
I'm sorry. $10,000.
Yeah.
I said $1,000. My bad. Yeah.
That's all. Dan.
There's a bunch, but I do have to be, I don't want to be very clear. They unveil Hope Valley at the end of this particular program. And they say the new name of the town is Hope Valley. Wouldn't everyone have known by just watching them paint the giant water tower in the middle of the day? They had to paint it during the day. How is this a surprise to anyone? Like, it's there. Like, they're painting it. I don't understand what's going on. Next, they're in Hampton or wherever they are, and these upper crust people,
Hamilton
is South Carolina. These upper crust people, Elizabeth's family, are so like, there is a woman at this party that is so upset that a Mountie is joining them for dinner. A Mountie, like Mounties are more than like astute people. Like they would be I can't imagine people being upset that an official Mountie was joining them at their dinner. And they act like he is scum of the earth. Like he's like collecting trash or something. I don't understand it. It doesn't make any sense. It, you know, that's not how trials work. I already said that. Who is going to give Gowan a job? What's he going to do?
I guess Lee is.
Who in their right mind? The guy was a monster. He said he told someone that their wife, their husband killed their son. I don't know how he's just going to stick around and figure this thing out. It doesn't make any sense to me at all. And then lastly, why in the world is Jack Thornton all of a sudden talking with a New York accent? Why is it happening? It's like four scenes where he just slips back into like old country. I don't get it. Why are they doing that?
I don't know why they're doing it, but I'm happy they are.
Really?
It brings a little extra pizzazz to it.
Man, I guess that's a statement.
It's brutal.
See you today, baby. It's time for Hopes and Valleys, part of the show we talk about. One of this episode, gave us hope for the future or made us bummed for the future. Panda.
First of all, this episode bums me out because I'm not sure. They don't even set up anything remotely interesting for the rest of the show at the conclusion. Like, I don't, what are we supposed to be excited about?
I guess
Jack, the sawmill.
The sawmill and Jack and Elizabeth are no longer a thing. Like, there's another thing, a roadblock, if you will.
What's that she's back with her family?
Marcus Rossner, yeah. He's going to be in a bunch of episodes, buddy.
Okay, that's fine. Still the most interesting character is Gowan. Mainly, like, I care about his arc. I still do. Despite their best efforts, they have not torpedoed his arc entirely.
I don't know what his arc is.
I don't know how you can rescue or redeem his character.
It seems like his arc is done, but he's going to be around for 60 more episodes.
I'm in. Bring it.
You know, the one thing they said that is an out for him being deplorable
is that
he was an employee and he didn't know. He was covering up for the business. That's bad.
And he also threatens people and he tries to pay people off and he does everything wrong you could do wrong.
He does. Yeah. But again, if he's not making those calls, obviously it's bad either way. Whether he's the one calling the shots or he's just following orders, it's not good.
Yeah.
But that could be something that they're setting up for the future.
He burned a bunch of evidence that would have proven that he killed 47 people.
That's what they did in season one.
Yeah.
Just want
he
to point that
killed
out.
47 people. I don't care if he was the employee or not. He killed them.
There's no way to redeem his character. I'm fascinated. How do you do it? You've backed yourself into such a horrible corner. I'm eager to see
I love the character. He should have been gone.
Twin. Yeah. Evil twin.
Ooh, it's an evil twin. Oh, I'm way back in an evil twin.
It's, for sure. Oh God, the magic movie.
Oh, the Prestige.
Yes,
the
Prestige. So everything,
right here. If you haven't watched Prestige, it's a great movie, but he just ruined it, Brandon.
Not necessarily. It's not like I said, you both cut off fingers or something. Like, it's not like I'm not that committed to spoiling anything. I had hopes. I had hopes that this trial would be a symbol of things to come.
James Brolin, baby.
And I'm sad that it's not. But that's me. Apparently no one else is sad that the trial's done.
No, I'm sad that it's over, but it was bad while it lasted.
I will say my hope is I liked Sam, the prosecutor, as a character. Mm-hmm. And I hope that she sticks around. Because I thought she had good, on-screen chemistry with the people that she was with. And I'd like to see her stick around. I'm not going to IMDb this time because every time I do that, I'm disappointed. So I'm not going to do it this time. I'm going to wait for disappointment to come to me. But we'll see. Dan?
My hope is that that episode is over and there's no way we ever have to watch it again. That is my hope. That is a hope in which I place my trust. The valley is that we did it. We had to do it. And it was not good.
Golly.
It was just... I don't know how. And I hated last season, but in comparison.
That looked like art.
Yes.
I mean,
I don't know what that was we just watched.
You know what? I think, as I've been thinking about, the best scene, and you can't even call them the best scenes, but the comparatively better scenes are when they're not in New York, when they're still back in Hope Valley, in Coal Valley.
I think the problem is the only kind of crisis that they can make last a long time on Hallmark is a romantic crisis.
Yeah.
So any crisis that's not a romantic one, they have to solve it pretty quickly. I don't know why that is. They can't let those linger. They can't like a trial linger or forgive me, Pa, that sign linger. They have to. And so
they let the tension between Gowan and Abigail last most of season one.
They do. They do. But from it just seems like they put a lot of their stock in stretching out romantic relationships further than they need to be stretched out until the two people get together. And that is what they're doing with Jack and Elizabeth, but not in a fun, inventive way, in an awful way.
Guys, I feel bad about the Prestige thing. I forgot that was a big twist. It's been a long time.
It's a great movie, too.
Great movie. Yeah. Just act like you didn't.
You didn't see it.
You can still watch. I feel really bad, man. I forgot it was
that
a twist.
Movie's like 13 or 14 years
if
old.
If you haven't seen it at this point. Right?
It's not like I told you that Bruce Willis was dead the whole time.
Oh, boy. It's getting out of hand now.
Did it again, didn't I, boys?
Godzilla comes back. Oh, you don't see it coming, though.
It is time for Pocket Watch. Pocket is in this episode.
Is it the same actor?
I think it's the same actor. Same actor, baby.
A little older.
A little older, a little wiser. That's Pocket's for you.
Yeah, though. But he doesn't seem like he's stuffing nearly as much in his pocket.
No, his pockets look relatively empty.
Yeah.
Smolder account. Dan, you said zero.
Zero. Smolder. Jack is not himself in this episode. He's not even really Jack Thornton. It's a different character. Yeah. And I know that Daniel Lissing can play the Jack Thornton character, so I blame it on the writing and the storytelling and executive producing and everyone involved that's not him. Because I guarantee you they asked him to do this New York bit. I guarantee you. I don't know what else to say. Because this guy can play that role in his sleep. I don't know what's going on here. It's a 0 of 10. Zero.
Two of 10. There wasn't a lot more. There's a couple scenes where he looks longingly.
And you said there
her.
Was like a four ceiling, a four floor.
Yeah,
last
I was
week.
Wrong. Yep. I did not see this episode coming. Guys, me I either. Am blindsided yep. by this episode. Absolutely gobsmacked that this episode. I'm not joking. I people had mentioned episode or season two's not as good. There was not a way I could have prepared myself for. I was so pumped. I was like, we have a longer episode.
Yeah, you were
excited. I legitimately like When Calls the Heart. This isn't a bit I'm doing. Yeah. I love it. This episode just blindsided me with how bad it was.
It's bad.
It's bad, guys.
When was the last time you were this blindsided?
When I saw The Blind Side. It was wild. Oh, I did not see it coming.
You don't see that coming.
Yeah.
It's pitiful.
Smolder, what do you got?
I don't know. The scene on the horse had Smolder. I don't think he pulled off that green shirt they kept putting him in, but he looked good in a suit. So it rounds out to a 3.25.
Yeah. 3.25.
Yeah, it rounds out there.
Man.
We did it, everybody. Congratulations. Do we have a What's Calling My Heart?
What's Calling My Heart? Email us at hello@deckthehallmark.com. G'day, Bran, Panda, and Dan. That is someone from down under.
I'll take your word for
down
it.
Down under. I'm not going to do the whole email like that. Hi from the beautiful city of Melbourne here in Victoria, Australia. I've been tuning into your podcast since your interview with Daniel Lissing last year. What can I say? I always get a good laugh. Never seen any of the movies or know many of the actors you were talking about or two, but it is great entertainment for driving to and from work. Not particularly a Hallmark fan, as not really much of a thing in Australia. Amazon Prime have some of the movies, though. I didn't know of it till Wind Calls the Heart, so Dan, it might pay you to move here to get away from Hallmark and COVID-19. Don't like Hallmark movies? Nope. Yeah, don't like Hallmark movies, tried a couple. They are just the same movie with different titles. I hear you there. Can't handle them at all. In saying that, I love When Calls the Heart. Huh. Seasons 1 to 5 anyway. Not much of a fan of the other seasons. Found it during COVID lockdown. Great escapism. I really love the Jack and Elizabeth story and have rewatched too many times to admit. Let me tell you guys, you are in for a smolder fest in seasons to come. What calls my heart is those looks that Jack and Elizabeth give each other over the 5 seasons. Just oh so good. Anyways, guys, thanks for all the laughs. I will keep listening from the other side of the world. Cheryl.
G'day, Cheryl. G'day.
G'day.
I'm intrigued by the person G'day. Who likes When Calls the Heart but doesn't like Hallmark movies. I'm intrigued by that person.
Interesting. It's just because an Australian, I think, is in the
league. Australia.
Yeah. What was that?
I don't know. There's one character, but it's an unimportant. Like, yeah. No one's going to know. There's this judge on a baking show that I like. He's Australian. I do a pretty good impression of him, but I'm not going to dust it out.
Okay. All right. Maybe later. Maybe another time.
Yeah. All right. We're going to be back tomorrow.
Yeah.
One more episode. The second in this trilogy of movies that we are getting ready for the third part of on Saturday. We are watching One Winter Proposal tomorrow. Ahead of One Perfect Wedding. So we're looking forward to that. Until then, may we be the first to wish you a Merry Christmas!
Deck the Hallmark is a Bramble Jam podcast recorded live in, yeah, that Greenville, South Carolina. It's produced by Brandon Gray, set decor by Plum Haywood Mall. For more information on all Bramble Jam podcasts, you can go to BrambleJamPodcast.com. For more information on how to listen to Deck the Hallmark ad-free, you can go to BrambleJamPlus.com.